Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Bethel Online. My name is Pastor Joe. I'm one of the pastors on staff here. You may have seen me in the comments asking for prayer and saying hi. It's so good to be here with all of you this morning. This morning, we're continuing on a series that we started last week called Sacred Rhythms. Last week, series by talking about how hurry is the great enemy of the spiritual life. And the only solution is to ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. It's so crazy how fast-paced we live our lives. I remember this one time growing up, and I had a very demanding job, and it caused me a lot of stress. And I actually, I woke up one morning, it was an early shift that started at 5:30, and it took me about half hour to drive there, so I had to get up quite early. And I woke up, and I looked at the clock, and it was already 5:30, and so I panicked just immediately, just that gut-wrenching panic of, oh man, I'm going to get it from my employer, I'm going to let my team down. This is just not good. Just that sinking feeling you may have experienced before just hit my gut. And so I jumped out of bed and I ran out the door. And as I put my key into my car, all of a sudden my alarm went off and I woke up. Have you ever been so stressed that you had a dream about work or about life or something that is just stressing you out? And the fact of the matter is so many of us live our lives at a frantic, unsustainable pace. It not only is it affecting our physical and mental health, but it's also damaging our souls. And so my question for you this morning is, are you tired? Are you worn out? Do you feel burdened under the weight of life? If you do, I'm going to let you in on a little secret this morning. And here is the secret. There is a better way to live life. There is a better way to live life than how you are living it right now. Just listen to the words of Jesus. He says this. He says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden I give you is light." I mean, doesn't that sound amazing? Isn't there a part of you that when you hear that says, man, I need that in my life. I need the easy yoke. I need just an easier way to live life. So what I want to do is I want to slow these words down a little bit. I'm going to slow it right down and just to really allow these words to just sink into your soul. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Isn't that just so comforting? Now we're going to mix it up a little bit here. Listen to how Eugene Peterson paraphrases it in the message version. He says this. He says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace." I'm just getting a little bit of a signal here that we're having a mic problem, so I'm just going to switch out my mic pack here. Are we on? Is it working? Right on. I'm getting the thumbs up. You know what? Technology is our friend and our foe. It's only by technology that we can continue to meet right now, which is such a blessing. from God. And I'm so thankful that we've got an amazing tech team that is here to help troubleshoot these problems. But let me pull you back in, all right? Let me get you back in the zone. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Don't you just want to live freely and lightly this morning? See, Jesus invites us to learn the unforced rhythms of grace. How good is that? To learn sacred rhythms of how to live your life. But here's the question. Here's the question that we have to ask. What does it mean to take up Jesus' yoke? How do we do that today? Well, first off, you need to realize that he's not talking about bacon and eggs. A yoke was a way to shoulder a heavy burden. Oxen would share a yoke to pull a cart or a plow. A person would shoulder a yoke to carry a heavy burden. There's this ancient inscription, if you want to put that picture up, that shows Assyrian captives yoked together to carry heavy burdens. Right. The idea of a yoke may seem odd to us today. It's not something that we really use in our culture. It's not something that we would be familiar with. But this was something that was very familiar to the Jewish audience that Jesus was speaking to in the first century. John Mark Comer remarks this. He says, a yoke was a common idiom in the first century for its way of teaching and reading the Torah. But it was also more. His set of teachings on how to be human. His way to shoulder the, at times, crippling weight of life. Marriage, divorce, prayer, money, sex, conflict resolution, government, all of it. So Jesus has a yoke. A way for us to shoulder the burden of life. A way for us to face everyday difficulties. And it's important to realize that taking up Jesus' yoke is not an escape. It's not a break from reality or a way to do away with a difficult life altogether. See, here's the fact of the matter is life is hard. Full stop. No ifs, no buts, no commas, no semicolons. Life is hard. And being a follower of Jesus doesn't change that. In fact, if you read the teachings of Jesus, and if you look at the early church in the book of Acts, what you will realize is that actually following Jesus in many ways will make your life harder. The reason that this is so vital for us to understand is that this is completely backwards to how we deal with difficult situations. This is completely backwards to how we deal with the pressures of life. When life is hard, we look for an escape, a short break from reality. Whether that's vegging in front of the TV because we have too much to do, or going on a tropical vacation to escape from work, or going shopping to escape credit card debt. And while an escape can be good, right, I'm all down for sandy beaches and palm trees. When you get back, life isn't any easier. In fact, sometimes it's actually harder. When you get back from a vacation, your work has piled up, and sometimes there's a little bit of added expenses that go along with going away. When you finish your shopping trip, not only is your debt still there, but you actually have more of it, right? All of your family and marital problems are still with you. An escape doesn't solve anything. And in contrast, Jesus doesn't help us escape from the burden of life. Instead, he helps us to shoulder it. But what makes Jesus' yoke stand out above the rest is that he had an easy yoke. Jesus has an easy yoke. He doesn't weigh us down with the crippling religious guilt or a heavy list of demands. Instead, he teaches us how to live freely and lightly. And this is where we find the great irony, friends. It is possible to believe in Jesus and not experience the easy yoke. It is possible to read your Bible, to pray, to go to church, to volunteer, to even share your faith with your neighbor, all the while feel like you have completely missed the point. Right? So many of us still feel just as or even more miserable, discontent, and anxious than when we started. You know, there's a good chance that some of you this morning might be thinking, you know, I've served the Lord faithfully for years, and I feel burnt out on religion. Right? I've heard about the easy yoke before. I've heard lots of sermons about the easy yoke. But if I'm really honest with myself, I would have to say that my soul is very, very far from being rested. And if that's you, I want you to know that I hear you. I want you to know that I've been there. This isn't a place of shame. This is a place of acceptance. This is a place where I say, it's okay. I've been there. Instead, I want to help. And I want to help by teaching you the secret of the easy yoke. See, when Jesus invited people, he would say, come to me. He was inviting them to be his talmidim. Now, talmidim is the Hebrew word that we translate as disciple. But perhaps even that word disciple that we've worn out and we're a little bit of have lost touch with it, perhaps. And so I would like to use the word apprentice. Apprentice. Jesus invites you to be his apprentice. To be a disciple of Jesus is to be an apprentice of Jesus, to walk with him and to model your whole life after him, to live the way that Jesus lived. And the problem is that while many Christians believe in Jesus, they do not model their lives after Jesus. Dallas Willard hits the nail right on the head. He says this: our mistake is to think that following Jesus consists in loving our enemies, going the second mile, turning the other cheek, suffering patiently and hopefully, while living the rest of our lives just as everyone else around us does. The secret of the easy yoke is simple, actually. It is the intelligent, informed, unyielding resolve to live as Jesus lived in all aspects of his life, not just in a moment of specific choice or action. In other words, if you want the life of Jesus, you need to live like Jesus. If you want the life of Jesus, you need to live like Jesus. It means to adopt an entirely different way to live life. If you want to take up the easy yoke, you must become an apprentice of Jesus. And to follow him, not just on Sundays or in the morning during your devotional time, but 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And this morning, I want to give you 3 steps in apprenticing under Jesus. And these steps along, with these steps, we've actually put some helpful resources on our website, and you can go there and access this information throughout the week to help you apprentice under Jesus. And the 3 steps are very simple. They're very simple to say. They're a little harder to live out. The first step is to be with Jesus. The second step is to become like Jesus. And the 3rd step is to do what Jesus would do if he were you. So let's take a look at these. First, be with Jesus. There's a leadership axiom that goes like this: some things are caught rather than taught. There are some things that you can only learn by being with someone. It's true of any kind of apprenticeship relationship, especially in an apprenticeship relationship with Jesus. There are some lessons that can only be learned by being in his presence. Think about Jesus' 12 disciples or apprentices. They left absolutely everything to follow Jesus. They walked with Jesus. They talked with Jesus. They ate with Jesus. They didn't just learn from the times that he fed the multitudes or healed the sick. They learned the importance of prayer by waking up to find that Jesus had already been up and that he was out praying. They knew that Jesus loved everyone. But that truth really sunk home when they were sitting around a table eating dinner with Jesus and a bunch of really sketchy characters. It was at that moment where the truth that Jesus actually loved everyone really sank in. You see, they learned the priorities of the kingdom of God by seeing how Jesus prioritized his life. They learned about what was important, not just because of what Jesus taught, but how he prioritized his day. There are some things that can only be learned through osmosis, through being with someone. And one of the things that stands out from Jesus' life is that he was never in a hurry. Have you noticed that? Have you ever read the Gospels, the stories of Jesus, and realized that he was never in a rush to get anywhere? When his friend Lazarus was gravely ill, or we're talking like deathbed ill, and the news came to Jesus. Jesus said, okay, thanks. And he waited 2 days before he went to go and see Lazarus. In another story, Jesus was on his way to heal a little girl who was also on death's door. And along the way, there's this elderly woman who comes and touches Jesus. And Jesus stops everything. And he takes the time, all the time in the world, to be with this woman in her problem in that moment. And more than that, Jesus actually capitalizes on that moment as a teachable moment for the crowds. Jesus was never in a hurry. He always had time for people. And it wasn't that Jesus wasn't busy. Jesus' schedule was full, okay? In fact, his schedule was probably a lot more full than a lot of ours. Jesus was constantly interrupted and being pulled in different directions and had distractions coming from every angle. But he stayed centered because he prioritized his time with our Heavenly Father. Because he was about living God's will and not being distracted and pulled by all of the different things in life. And so for us today, what this means is that being with Jesus is so much more than 10 minutes in the morning before work. It's bringing God's presence with you everywhere that you go. It's inviting Jesus into your conflicts, into your relationship, into your business deals, and into your volunteering. It is giving him the space to lead so that you can follow. Sometimes we make the mistake of thinking that acting like Jesus is enough. But the fact of the matter is that has never been enough. See, we need to know Jesus. It's not enough to act like Jesus. We need to know him personally. Being an apprentice of Jesus is first and foremost about relationship. Just listen to Jesus' words in Matthew 7. He says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Step one in apprenticing under Jesus is to be with him, to know him, to develop a relationship with him. And the secret to every great relationship, and anyone will tell you this, is time. It's time. So take the time to get to know Jesus, to be with him, to invite him, not just in scattered moments into your life, but every day, in every moment. Secondly, to apprentice under Jesus means to become like Jesus. The other day I was watching reruns of Survivor. Now don't judge me. I can't pull myself away from the drama. This is something my wife and I have picked up during these COVID times. And we were watching Survivor, and I couldn't help but think to myself, man, some of these guys are just chiseled. Like, what I wouldn't give to have washboard abs and pecs like Terry Crews. Like, how awesome would that be? And I was thinking this as I lounged on my couch with a bag of potato chips and a can of Coke. And as the full irony of this situation hit me, I began to think, you know what, maybe washboard abs really aren't all that they're cracked up to be. When I thought about all of the time and effort and energy that I'd have to put in to going to the gym and how I'd have to arrange that around my children's schedules and my wife's schedule and how I would have to work out and that gets sweaty and gross and all of these things, I wasn't really to adopt that lifestyle in order to look like that. And here's the sad truth, friends, is that we treat our spiritual lives the same way. When we read the Gospels, the stories of Jesus, or the teachings of Jesus, or about the easy yoke, immediately there's a part of us that says, I need that. I want that. I want to live the life that Jesus lived. And we want that right away, but immediately we look at the cost. And we think about how much our everyday lives need to change, how it needs to slow down, how we need to restructure our priorities. And then we think, nah, I'm good. I'll just keep coasting the way I am right now. But the secret of the easy yoke is to adopt the lifestyle of Jesus, to become like him. Again, if you want the life of Jesus, you must live like Jesus. But we don't like that awkward middle part, right? We don't like the work in the middle. We like to skip right to the end, to the part where we have a great devotional life, where we just have this incredible sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, where we turn the other cheek without a moment's hesitation, right? But we can never get there without the middle stuff. We can never get there without first walking with Jesus. Right? First, we have to take the time out of our hurried lives to be with Jesus. And second, we have to put in the time to become like Jesus. Now, what it doesn't mean for me and you to become like Jesus. Does it mean that we need to sell our homes and abandon our responsibilities to become traveling evangelists? To actually model our lives exactly the way that Jesus lived his life? Or is it perhaps a little bit more nuanced than that? See, if you want to become like Jesus, you need to do what Jesus would do if he were you. Do what Jesus would do if he were you. When I was growing up, there was a very popular saying in Christian youth culture, and yes, that's a thing for those of you that are wondering. And the saying was WWJD. Or what would Jesus do? And you could get bracelets, you could get t-shirts, you could get hats, you could get everything, you could get posters, bumper stickers that would say, what would Jesus do? And the whole concept behind this was so that way you could filter the decisions in your life through the lens of Jesus, right? So that meant as a teenager, when you were forced with the question, you know, should I really make out with my girlfriend in the back of my 1992 Corolla? You would ask yourself, you know, what would Jesus do? And kind of use that to guide your life, right? So it's a pretty good idea. But the problem with WWJD was that Jesus was a first century Jewish rabbi, not a 21st century teenager. He wasn't a 21st century dad or business owner or accountant or stay-at-home mom. And so sometimes it's really hard to know what would Jesus do in our situation. So instead, the question that we should really be asking ourselves is WWJDIHWM. Just rolls right off the tongue. And what that means, of course, is this, is what would Jesus do if he were me? What would Jesus do if he were me? Think about it. See, Jesus wasn't a dad, but I am. And so I have to ask myself, how would Jesus parent Caleb and Loveland? You know, I imagine he'd probably spend time with them. He would play with them. He would tell them bedtime stories. He would discipline them in a loving and a controlled manner. Maybe you're a single mom, and I know nothing about being a single mom, and Jesus certainly wasn't a single mom. But the question is, how would Jesus handle the single mom life? How would Jesus live as a university student at VIU or as an employee at Save-On? How would Jesus spend his time if he was retired? How would Jesus live if he were you? One story in the Gospels that always amazed me is when Jesus healed the demon-possessed man who was living naked in a cave. It's a wild ride. If you haven't read it, you can find it in Mark chapter 5. And at the end, when the man is healed, he's whole, he's fully clothed, and he's with Jesus at the very end, he begs Jesus. He says, "Jesus, I want to come with you. Take me with you. I want to follow you. I want to be your disciple. I want to be your apprentice. Jesus, take me with you." And listen to what Jesus says to him. "No. Go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." So what happened in that moment? Did Jesus reject him? Did Jesus push him away and say, "You know what, man? I'm sorry. You had a really messed up past, and so you're just not cut out to be my apprentice"? No, that's not what he said at all. In fact, Jesus' challenge to the man was to follow him, yes, but not to follow him in the way that he thought, but to follow him, to live as Jesus would live in that town. To live as Jesus would live if he was that man. And the same call goes to you and me. We need to live our lives like Jesus would live it if he were us. If you want to live the life of Jesus, you need to live like Jesus. Pastor Alexis, do you want to come on up? I want you to know that Jesus is inviting you to learn the unforced rhythms of grace. He's saying, "Come to me. Follow me. Be my disciple, my apprentice." See, what we're really talking about here isn't a moment. It's not a spiritual altar call where we cry and then go home and go about our lives. What we're really talking about here is a rule of life, an entirely new way to be human, to take Jesus's yoke, his way of burden, of shouldering the burden of life, and to put that upon you. And here's the part that we don't like, the part where that really messes us up. In order to take Jesus's yoke and to put it on, take the yoke that we are currently using and put it down. We have to take our hurry and our distractions and our avoidance and our numbing and all of the things that we do, and we need to put it down to pick up the yoke that Jesus has for us. John Mark Comer writes this. He says, "The hard truth is that following Jesus is something you do. It's a practice as much as a faith. At their core, the practices of Jesus are about a relationship with the God he called Father. And all relationships take time." Friends, this isn't a legalistic guilt trip. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty or anything like that. This is an invitation. This is a calling, a sacred moment. It's the invitation of Jesus to ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life, so you can experience the life of Jesus. Do you want that? I know that I do. Let's listen to the invitation of Jesus one more time and just let it sink in again. "Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you will recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you will learn to live freely and lightly." Let's pray. Jesus, in this moment, we're standing at a crossroads. And we understand that following you is more than a moment. It's a lifestyle. But every lifestyle begins with a defining moment, with a choice. And so, God, I just pray for everyone who is ready to make that decision to take up your yoke, to learn the unforced rhythms of grace, to live their life like Jesus would live it if he were them. And if that's you this morning, if you're hearing that, I just want to invite you to pray this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I've tried to live my life my own way, and it's not working out. Jesus, I pray that you would teach me the unforced rhythms of grace. I want to apprentice under you. I want to model my life after you. I ask that you would transform me through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, if you've prayed that prayer for the first time or the 100th time, I would love to hear from you. There's lots of ways that you can get connected. There'll be something in the comments there that you can click on to speak directly with me.